What does it mean to lead? How do you become a leader? And what are some principles that good leaders integrate into their lives and work? Hi, this is Richard Nelson with the Commonwealth Matters. Joining us today is the Executive Director of the Kentucky Baptist Convention, Todd Gray. Todd has pastored churches in Kentucky and in Indiana for 20 years. He's passionate about helping churches reach Kentucky and the world for Christ. Todd also hosts a weekly podcast called Leadership Lessons, and he also writes a weekly blog. Most importantly, Todd is a brother in Christ and a personal friend of mine. Todd, welcome to the Commonwealth Matters.
Thank you, Richard. Thanks for having me, and thank you for all your good work, your ministry, as well as your friendship. I always enjoy being with you.
Thank you. Hey, in full transparency, Todd, you and I got together not too long ago, and we were just catching up and trading notes, I guess, if you will. And you said a few things to encourage me on a personal level that I thought, man, that would make a great podcast. So here we are. And I always enjoy talking to you and learning from you, Todd. You focus on leadership. In fact, you have a podcast called Leadership Lessons. And I'd like to cover some of the high points. We really don't have enough time to go deep into any one of these things, but I'd like to cover the high points of some leadership lessons and principles that you have learned and integrated over the years. So one of the things that you mentioned at our meeting just the other month was about organizational leadership. And you have boiled that down to three key areas. And this is helpful to me, by the way, on a personal level. I'm leading the Commonwealth Policy Center. I have a small staff, and I want to lead well, Todd. I want to model good leadership. I want to steward this organization well. And you shared some things with me regarding those three key areas of organizational leadership. Tell us, if you would, what they are, and let's talk about that for a moment.
Sure, I will, but I want to set the context, Richard, because what I did was actually ask you about leadership. I asked you, what are some lessons that you've learned and your role as organizational leader. So for me, and the same thing with Leadership Lessons podcast, is that I always want to learn from others. I do not always feel effective as a leader. In fact, I think I spend more time feeling not effective. And so if I can learn something from someone else, then I want to do it. So 1 Corinthians 4, verse 2 says, "Moreover, it's required of stewards that a man be found faithful." That's God's expectation of us. But what does faithfulness look like in organizational leadership? I think there's three things every organizational leader has to do, whether it's you leading a nonprofit, me leading a nonprofit, or a pastor of a church, which is an organization. We have to advance the mission, we have to solve problems, and we have to care for people. And I think that almost every task that we perform can be found under one of those three headings. And I'm glad to talk more about each of those as you would like.
Yeah. So I'd like to go into what you've done, Todd, as you've advanced the mission of the KBC. What are one or two significant things that you've done while leading the KBC, which, by the way, is not a small organization? You've got, is it 2,400 cooperating churches in the KBC?
Yep. 2,350 cooperating churches. We have a staff of about 60 people. So our mission is that we're created by churches for churches to help churches reach Kentucky and the world for Christ. And so some ways that we do that is that we're church centric as an organization. We're not doing the work of the church. We're trying to help the church feel supported, encouraged, strengthened, even more equipped in doing its work. So a couple things probably recently, we've had a calling out the called initiative. There are about 300 churches in Kentucky at all times without pastors. Those are just Kentucky Baptist churches. Many of those churches would rely on a bivocational pastor. That pipeline is mostly empty across the state, with a couple of exceptions, places like Lexington, Louisville. There are more of them. And so we've tried to create initiatives that will help those men answer the call, but then once they've answered the call, to receive the training that they need to serve in churches. That's been a huge thing for us. We did a few years ago an effort called Gospel to Every Home, and that was an effort to deliver the gospel of Jesus to every one of the, I forget the number, I think 1.7 million homes in Kentucky. And no single church can do that. Really, there's no association, of which we have 66 in Kentucky, can do that. But it is something that all of us working together can accomplish. So those are just some ways we've tried to advance the mission. But really, Richard, we just try to do it every day. Our folks are out in the field caring for pastors, caring for church staff, associational leaders, trying to serve alongside folks like yourself in advancing the mission that Jesus gives us.
Yeah, that's great, Todd. One of the lessons you've learned, probably going back to when you first started pastoring, was that you are not going to please everyone. When you're in a leadership position, you will find that there are people who just their nature is they're opposed to everything. And so what are some of the ways that you as a leader have grown since when you first started pastoring to being the executive director of the KBC? What are some ways you've minimized conflict when especially when making tough decisions, Todd? Do you have a few pointers for us in that area?
Yeah, so I don't know who it was that said if you want to make everyone happy, go don't be a leader, go sell ice cream. And even then, you may not have the right flavor in stock when someone shows up. I think that's hard for a lot of us. You know, the fear of man brings a snare. Proverbs says that many of us are kind of lean toward that people pleasing. We want folks to be happy. We really do care what folks think. And our decisions are not going to make everyone happy. I think some of the ways that we can maybe mitigate that is by being careful in how we make decisions rather than just kind of off the cuff leadership. Getting enough input that we're mindful of how those decisions are going to land. Richard, one of the things that I've had to learn and still learning are the differences in personalities that, there are folks who are just more relational and more nurturing in their personality. And they really care about how every decision impacts every person. And so getting input from people who are wired that way, I think can really mitigate a lot of the negative impact. And then probably communication, that there's plenty of communication. And I don't always get this right. In fact, I probably get it wrong as often as I get it right. One of my team members years ago came to me when I was in a different role with KBC. And our team was in a time of transition. There had been some challenges in our work. And he just mentioned, he said, when an organization is going through crisis, over-communication is better than under-communication, something like that. And that just reminded me of the importance of regularly talking to the team and to whatever we were talking about, just sharing something consistently so that they're hearing from me. When folks don't have communication, they make up their own story. And one of the ways I think we can minimize conflict is by continual communication, and then trying to listen to folks who are not happy. And that's difficult for leaders because I think in your case, in my case, sometimes people are a little reluctant to approach their organizational leader with their concern. They're more likely to talk to a peer, a coworker, and we just have to keep trying to keep that door open to where it's easier for folks to come and share their concerns with us.
One of the ways you keep that door open, Todd, is by creating a positive culture, an affirming culture. And a lesson I learned early on when I started CPC, one of my board members and I were talking, and he asked me, he said, Richard, is your nature more of a driver or a nurturer? And I thought for a moment, and I thought, yeah, you know what? I'm a driver. I see something that needs to be done, and I'm like, let's get after it. And I didn't always communicate to those around me well, like what I was thinking, why I was thinking it, where are we going? And in that just simple statement that this board member shared with me really made me think and reflect as to how I could be a better leader. Because it's one thing to do the job, Todd, and it's another to nurture an organization, to create a culture where the team members feel safe, where they feel affirmed, and where they're going to be most productive. Have you learned anything like those? Because you and I have a similar personality. We're both drivers. We both are worker bees. And what was that transition like for you from going from the worker bee to being a leader?
Yeah, still happening. So, Richard, one of the things I see in you is a genuine nurturing personality. But I also get that kind of that hard charging. We have to get the task done. So of those three things I mentioned, advancing the mission, solving problems, and caring for people. I think every leader has a 1, 2, 3 in terms of strengths, or what comes more natural for me, it's advancing the mission. And then it would be solving problems, because you can't advance the mission if you're not addressing the emerging issues that come up. But caring for people I wouldn't say it's more of a challenge. It's just not the first thing I'm thinking about. I want folks to be cared for. I love our team. man, we have the best folks in the world as far as I'm concerned. I want them to thrive. I don't want negative things in their life. I don't want to create problems for them. But I'm thinking mostly about the mission that we have to lead the organization forward. And so for me, I've had to learn some really specific disciplines to help me try to care well for the team. And I'm still learning those, but I'm learning them from people who are pretty good at that work. That would be their first gear. That's where they would be their strength, or it would be a strength for them. So we talk more about that, but just have to figure it out. You got to make it a priority.
Yeah. Todd, one of the things that I've heard you repeat a few times here is that you're learning. I'm learning. Is this a trait of a good leader? They're constantly learning.
I think a leader needs to be a lifelong learner. You know, Richard Blackaby, son of Henry Blackaby, likes to say he likes to go into pastor's office, look at their bookshelves, and figure out what year they died. And what he means by that is what's the most recent book that they're reading. And if you're not, was it President Truman that said, not all readers are leaders, but all leaders are readers, that we must be lifelong learners, that we're all the time trying to pay attention to folks who are better at it than we are, further down the road than we are, and learning from them.
Todd, leaders are expected to be productive and to shepherd their organization in a way that it is growing and overall productive. This means that all the team members need to be productive. And one of the most difficult things for a leader is workplace accountability. To have that discussion, to have policies of accountability, and to follow through with that, what are a few principles of accountability that you've employed as you lead the KBC?
Yeah, I would say the top three things that come to mind, and two of those are kind of internal with us. It's part of our system, and I would recommend it to anyone. But the first one is the most important, and it's hiring well. That that when you're in a position to hire someone, that you're very careful to hire the best person you can find for that role, that he or she possesses the qualities that you are looking for. Typically, Richard, in our kind of work, they have to be a self-starter. They're not going to be managed closely probably every day by someone else. They're not going to be micromanaged. And it's better to hire someone that you have to pull back rather than that you have to push them forward. So I think that's really crucial, and probably more crucial than we give attention to. You know, the crass language is hire slow, fire fast. The better language would be hire intentionally, fire intentionally when you have to. So I think it starts with hiring. The second thing is to have a good internal performance evaluation system. KBC had that long before I got here. It's been in place for years. We have an annual performance evaluation for every employee. It's pretty specific. We're hearing their goals. There's accountability to how they're doing on their goals. And then we have two follow-up coaching sessions these are scheduled things that are required to happen with each supervisor with all their direct reports each year. I have five direct reports, and so I do that with those. And then the third thing probably is a performance improvement plan, that if the performance isn't happening, then there needs to be a plan in writing that, look, these are some benchmarks that we need to hit by this time. And then if you go through one of those or two of those and they just aren't happening, then there's no surprise that a transition is going to need to happen, that this person's going to need to find something that's a better fit for them. Those aren't easy things, but you'd like to hope that if someone is dismissed from a role, it doesn't come as a surprise to them, that they've had plenty of opportunities to improve. And that doesn't apply to like a moral failure or a disqualifying effort. But yeah, those are some things that we do for it. We have internal accountability. We ask our folks to give reports on their ministry and what they're doing. We have goals that we set, and we try really hard to hit those. We try to make them reasonable. So those are some things that we use.
We are going to take a quick break, but we'll be right back. Hi, Richard Nelson here. There's got to be a better way to engage politics. That's why I wrote a new book focusing on how Christians can lead the way. It's called Christianity and Politics, a memoir of spiritual formation and field guide for Christians in the public arena. This is a refreshing perspective on how believers can engage the political realm, and it's available for pre-order on Amazon today. So please check it out. I think you're going to find it helpful. If you're just joining us, you are tuned into the Commonwealth Matters. I'm Richard Nelson, here with KBC Executive Director Todd Gray, and we are talking about leadership. Todd, I want to go back to dealing with the difficult people. And I know I touched on this before, but for me, this is one of the most challenging parts of leadership. By nature, I'm a people pleaser. And it's ironic. And I think God has a sense of humor because I'm in an arena with a lot of conflict, the political realm. Not only that, but it's a realm where I work with churches, with the Christian community, and it's at the intersection of politics and public policy. So there's a whole lot of conflict. There are different opinions there. And I'm coming out of a season where I have faced some conflict and faced some heavy criticism. And I guess I can deal with it depending on who's criticizing and where it's coming from. But I want to go back to dealing with the difficult people from a Christian perspective. How do we deal with that conflict that's on the horizon? Let's say there's somebody that's going after you or just difficult to deal with, Todd. Is there a point when you just say, you try to an extent, and then you just say, can't do anymore? Just maybe share an example or two of how you've done that.
Yeah, Richard, a couple of principles that probably guide me. Number one is to lean in. And I know you do that. If you have someone that feels like an enemy, though you might not use that language, you're not going to ignore it. You're gonna do your part to lean into that relationship, whether that's a phone call or a visit or a text to say, hey, let's get together and talk. So I think you have to lean in. You can't ignore it. And then the second thing, I think a verse to keep in mind is Romans 12:18. Romans 12:18 says, if possible, as much as King James says, as much as lieth in you or as much as depends on you, live at peace or be peaceable with all men. And I love that verse because it really seems to take humanity into or human frailty or human sinfulness into consideration. If possible, it's not always possible. The other person has to be willing to try and reconcile and work things through. And then it says, as much as depends on you. And Richard, we do a lot with conflict resolution. We have a lot of our staff are trained in helping churches work through conflict. And one of the things they'll say, there are always two people, at least in a conflict, and each person has to take responsibility for their part of the conflict. And the language they'll use is that you're not 100% responsible for the conflict. You may only be 2% responsible, but you are 100% responsible for your 2%. And so taking ownership of what is my part, what did I do, what could I have done different, and having that sense of humility. And that seems to take some of the steam out of the, you know, when you go to confront someone and we're using language like that I'm going to go confront a person, then all of a sudden it's just going to be a head-on battle. But if I'm trying to think reflectively on what did I do, what did I possibly do to make this worse than it needs to be, that takes some of the heat out of the conversation. And then I think we just really have to pray hard and ask God to help us reconcile. Or Richard, I think the toughest ones for me is when I feel like I'm doing all those things and yet still not making headway. But even then, I have to come to a place of peace and say, Lord, I really want to do as much as I can do to make this right. But I also have to figure out how to let it go if I can't.
Todd, I want to move on to caring for yourself. You wrote a recent column in Kentucky Today called Vacations Can Be Resets, and you talked about five ways to get to a healthier place. Number one, sleep routine. Two, exercise. Three, work and ministry routine. Four, prioritizing important relationships. And five, personal devotional practices. I'm going to put you on the spot. Were you speaking from personal experience when you wrote this?
Yeah, so for me, Richard, maybe you're wired like this too. If you've ever done the DISC profile, the like D is kind of is for dominant, the C is about getting things right. I'm kind of a DC person. I do lead, but I want to get things right. The struggle with that is I'm never satisfied personally that things are right. So when I say vacations are a reset, it can be a time to reflect on how are things going. On especially those five areas, and are there some changes or tweaks that I need to make? Now, for me, sleep, man, I get up early every morning. I'm up by 4:30 every day, But I go to bed at 8:30, so I'm going to get my 7.5 hours of sleep each night. I learned that years ago. But exercise is a challenge to have to come back with a new exercise routine. I'm on right now, but I've been off for a long time. So yeah, glad to talk about any of those. But I do think that you have to lead yourself before you can lead others, right? That if I want others to be healthy, I need to be healthy. If I want others to thrive, I need to be thriving as a leader. And I think those five areas are crucial to thriving personally.
Todd, in another column called Ministry Doldrums, you write about what do you do if you find yourself in the doldrums, which that's a seafaring term. It's a place in the ocean where there's no winds. And if a ship found itself in the doldrums, it's not going to be moving. It's stagnant air. There's no wind. You don't have propulsion to get you where you're going. But you talk about the ministry doldrums. Now, I want to set this up by saying I want to refer to a Lifeway survey done in 2021. Lifeway found that 63% of pastors find their role is frequently overwhelming. I want to go to a survey done last year that found that 40% of pastors were considering leaving the ministry altogether. And I want to try to link this up together. Is this because of the lack of caring for themselves? Is it the pressure from the congregation? What's going on here? Now, you talk to these pastors on a regular basis. What are you hearing from them as far as their being overwhelmed in their role, and then also considering leaving the ministry altogether? What's going on?
Yeah, I think that the answer to kind of what causes that is it's multifaceted. It can be a lot of different things at any time. So, Richard, just start thinking about all the things that make it challenging for you, and then put that in the context of leading a local church out in front of the same group of people every week. A lot of unspoken expectations are coming to a pastor. And then there's a spiritual warfare element that we have a real live enemy, Satan, who doesn't want that ministry to thrive or succeed. He'll do whatever he can to try and stop it. So that's the atmosphere that pastors are ministering in. So if they're facing marital problems of their own, it's going to be difficult to continue. If they have a wayward child, it's going to be hard to keep going. If they're receiving a lot of criticism from a key member or a couple of key members, especially if they're strong financial supporters, even with if he's trying to have a biblical perspective on it, it's still difficult. So all those things working together, which along with sometimes working too many hours, sometimes not having the best eating or exercise habits or sleep habits, in the Word for personal devotion, but also in the Word to get sermons. Sometimes the Bible can become more of a work practice than a personal devotional practice. So I think all those things contribute. On the 40%, here's what's interesting about that. 40% consider quitting. Those of us who work with pastors all the time, and I pastored for 20 years, I'm surprised the number's not higher. In all seriousness, there, for most pastors, I think there's several times throughout the year where they really have to think about, do I continue in this? And that's where you come back to those issues. Am I answering God's calling? Am I doing what God called me to do? Richard, my first church was in Cadiz, Kentucky. You lived in Tree County at the same time, New Hope Baptist Church. I had the privilege of spending time with older pastors. And those older pastors would just simply say, your ministry is only as good as your calling. And what they meant was that you're going to hit these low spots. And when you're there, probably the only thing that keeps you there is not the paycheck, not the things that you like about it, but it's that you know God put you in that place. And he hasn't released you from it yet.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Todd, we are winding down here. We've got just a few more minutes to go. What would you say to the person listening to this program right now who says, I'm not a leader, I don't aspire to be a leader? Why should they care about leadership lessons and leadership principles in their personal lives?
Yeah, so I think I'd probably try to challenge them just a little bit. And I would say, okay, you're saying there's no one in your life that is looking to you as an example, or there's no one in your life that you're influencing at all. And they say, well, my children, probably, maybe my spouse. I oversee a couple of people at work. Then I say, well, you're a leader. And Since you're a leader, you need to first off lead yourself well, make sure that you're growing as a Christian. And then out of that influence, you'll be able to better influence others. Because Richard, if we're leading at a most basic level, we want those that we're leading to thrive. We want them to do well. And so if we're not doing well, we're not even going to know what it looks like, and we're going to have a hard time helping anyone else. So I'd say we all need to. And then for maybe another reason is it may, caring about leadership may help you appreciate those who are leading organizations and churches and our nation. And I mean, my goodness, you work with leaders every day in Frankfurt. I can't imagine how difficult their job is. Many of those men and women are godly men and women who love the Lord, love their local church, love their family, and they're in a tough, tough, tough environment. So we should all care for and pray for those who are in leadership.
Todd, last question here. Can you tell us a positive influence or two in your life? Maybe it's a person, a book, or even a podcast that you're listening to right now. Leave us on a positive note of a positive influence in your life regarding leadership.
Yeah. Well, I can spend a lot of time with that. One of the first ones was a guy named Ben Cates. Ben was my first boss out of college. Ben would call me at 5 o'clock in the morning to ask what I was doing and what I was planning on doing for the day. But I just loved him and he loved me. I was single. And so really the only thing I had in my life was work. And Ben was a good role model in many ways. Ben, he was not a believer, but in many ways, he was a good role model to me. Paul Chitwood was my direct boss here at KBC. Paul is an outstanding organizational leader. He's leading the International Mission Board right now. I learned from him the importance of do the best you can to hire good people and then let them do the job that you hired them to do and try not to micromanage them in that work. Richard, I think I'd probably have to say that the greatest human influence in my life is my wife, Connie. Connie has a gift of wisdom. What folks say about a pastor's wife needs to be fully supportive and completely unimpressed. And Connie's been willing to go with me any place that God has called, even into the role that I'm in right now. And she continues to be a good and godly support and influence in my life. But brother, listen, other than that, Richard, every good leader that I'm around is an influence, including you.
Todd, thank you so much for those kind words, and thank you for joining the Commonwealth Matters. Todd, God bless and keep up the great work.